1, 2, 3. Harold and Brad, Windy City Filmmakers. Harold and Brad, Windy City Filmmakers. Harold and Brad.
We are recording now. 3, 2, 1. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another edition of the Harold and Brad Windy City Filmmakers Podcast in the house. Brad Stevens in the house. HD, what's going on, y'all?
What's up, B? What's going on, my brother? It's great to be here. We got great people we're interviewing today, too.
Oh, yeah. Today, we have some special guests, dynamic duo Tam and Kev in the house. What's going on, y'all?
Thank you for having us. He's over here recording us.
Good stuff. I love it. So one thing, like the first question we always like to ask people, for both of you, what's your connection to Chicago and what kind of art do you create?
I'll start. Born and raised in Chicago, We grew up in Mary Nook and Chatham, and then I went to school in New York, and then when I came back, I lived in South Shore, and then we migrated to LA, New York first for theater, and then back to LA, or to LA for film and television. But Chicago is where I was born and raised, spent all of my elementary, adolescent years there, and then came back to focus on this career when I graduated. Connection to the art world, theater. I was born a theater child. I'm a theater and sketch and improv kid. That's the connection.
Real quick, did you go to high school here, or did you go to high school in New York or LA?
No, I went to high school at Luther South.
Luther South, no doubt. Good stuff.
Hey, Kevin.
I moved to, I was born in Toronto, then lived in Texas for 10 years, and then moved to Chicago to go to DePaul University, the theater school.
DePaul, yeah.
Yeah, and at the time I didn't know anything about Chicago except Oprah and the Bulls. I wanted to be in a big city, and I wanted to be out of Texas, right? No shade to Texas, just I'm a city right. guy. I'm just a big city guy. So I moved here, went to DePaul, and then lived here for 20 years. And in that time, I did a lot of, after graduating from DePaul, I did a lot of theater, sketch comedy, a lot of that. That's my.
Which is where we met.
That's where we met.
Nice.
That's the next question. I wanted you guys to, briefly, thoroughly give us your theater experiences, the name of the theaters, the big theaters, the shows. I've seen you guys in shows. I was blown away. So, it's like the Looking Glass and all over the place. Just talk about that and tell us about your theater experience here in Chicago.
Okay, so I started off my very first. So when I didn't go to school for this. I went to school. I was on my way to medical school after I graduated, undergraduates from University of Rochester, New York. I kind of was working this corporate job and was fulfilling some of my gross anatomy classes to apply for medical school. Physical therapy programs, to be exact. And so what happened, a guy that I worked with said, hey, you're pretty funny. Why don't you come and audition for this sketch show?
Nice.
At Second City. Didn't know what Second City was. Didn't really know what sketch was. I had seen Saturday Night Live and Living Color and all that. I didn't really know. But I knew that people thought I was funny. People always say to you, hey, people think I'm funny. You think I can get into the business?
Yeah.
I was kind of one of those people. Fast forward to this audition I had at Second City to be in a sketch and improv group. I didn't get in that group, but I got in another group. And at the time, y'all, I didn't know the difference between sketch and improv and theater and musical theater. And if it said theater, I thought you were just an actress.
Right.
I didn't know that being in a straight play was different from being in a musical theater play. And being in a musical play was different from being in a sketch and improv.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So my very first play was at Impact. In Chicago.
Nice.
It was called Victory Gardens Greenhouse back then, which is now, I think it's just the greenhouse now.
Yeah.
So my first role was at Red Line Theater and then Impact. And then from doing a show that he wrote, some of the bigger theaters started taking notice and coming out. And then it just kind of, you know, opened the door for me to go to work at Looking Glass and Steppenwolf and The Good Men and Northlight and all the big regional theaters in Chicago. So you name it, I've been there.
Nice. This is up. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let's just jump right into, before we talk about your show, your experience with APB. It seems like you moved away to come back here to work home in Chicago. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Isn't that how that's always how it happens. And it was, what's crazy is that when we had made the decision to move, we had finally decided, you know what, after this last play, he was doing a show at Looking Glass.
Right.
He showed Steppenwolf. I had done back-to-back shows at Steppenwolf. And people started offering us jobs.
There was a play where we could have been wife and husband.
Or boyfriend and girlfriend.
Was it boyfriend? Yeah.
Boyfriend
and girlfriend. Girlfriend. And we said, no, we gotta make the move.
I mean, that's what happens. Like, all this, the theater that you want to work in, that you just want to get an audition at.
Right.
Like, we're fortunate to get auditions at these places. Started offering jobs, and we have to say, it's time to go. So I finished the show at Steppenwolf. He was on tour with Looking Glass. I moved to New York to do a play at the Public Theater there, a play called Barbecue by Robert O'Hara.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Barbecue at the Public, and then I decided to stay for pilot season in New York. The show ended, I think, in November, December. Pilot season was January through whatever. We moved to LA while I was there doing pilot season. We moved to LA. We said, we're going to find this apartment. I'm going to come back to LA, get all my stuff, go back to Chicago, get the rest of the stuff. But let's go look at these apartments in LA. Right. Signed a lease in LA. 2 days later, they said, oh, you booked this pilot that shoots back in Chicago. 2 days after signing a lease, and y'all know LA. LA is hot.
This
is
right.
It's just a different like cost of living and everything. And so we said, okay, we're gonna keep this lease because pilots get picked up or not picked up all the time. So, you know, there's a chance that we might not go. Well, fast forward, I'm pregnant as hell. At this point, I'm 6 months. By the way, I forgot to mention, I got knocked up by him on a conjugal visit. He visited in New York one weekend on a Monday, and I got pregnant.
No doubt.
But I'll edit that. The people need to know. The people need to know that on conjugal visits, you can't get pregnant.
It's so long.
I love it.
So literally, I'm 6 months pregnant shooting this pilot. We finished right off the pilot. I came back to LA, and then you have the 2 months to wait to hear if you get a series pickup.
Right.
So we got a series pickup right before Charlie was born, and then literally 2 weeks after she was born in July, headed back to Chicago to live the second month, 6 months.
Right.
So I've left the place here.
So when you broke out to LA, did you have anything lined up, like agents, anything like that?
So when... I'm still with Stewart Talent in Chicago.
Right.
So I'm just with Stewart across the board, Chicago, New York, and LA. So fortunately, when I went to New York, I was able to sign. Now, they weren't obligated to sign me just because I was with Chicago. I had to interview. And then for LA, it didn't hurt that I had booked a pilot. Like, they were like, oh, she booked a pilot. We're going to go ahead and sign her anyway. So it was just a matter of, do I want to be with Stewart in LA?
Right.
But yeah, fortunately, when I went out there, I had that representation. And then...
Yeah, I, a few months later, I signed up with a literary agent.
Right.
Stewart first.
And then Gersh.
Yeah.
The literary.
Right. So both of y'all write, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So what do you see like the common thread between, and I love your show, where do you think the common thread is between writing a piece and getting to a character? Like, what are the similarities, like the things that are in common in the two?
Well, it's interesting because when we're writing or creating the character, we often already have the character in mind when we start writing it. But the yeah, we, I don't know, we write it first and then we discover things as we go. So as we're about to rehearse it or rehearse it, if we have time to rehearse. We have a toddler
Oh yeah, we have a child. But I think the bigger thing is that we kind of write what you know.
Right.
And so like this season of Tim and Kevin has literally come from conversations that we were sitting on the couch having.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if you saw the first our very first one this season was with the mask. The birthday hat we used as a mask. Kevin was over there playing with Charlie, put on a birthday hat.
Yeah.
And I said, what if it gets so bad they gotta use these birthday hats for masks? And Kevin said, we gotta write it down. And literally five minutes later we shot it.
Nice.
5 minutes later we shot it.
Right.
So a lot of the stuff just comes out of conversation and the time and what's going
everything
on.
Like on the news, just, you know, or binging. We binge watch Ozark and then we wrote an episode inspired by Ozark. But a lot of it's the times and what we're seeing on TV.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that episode. I love that episode with Chuck. Charlie's in a couple episodes, right?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And I love the episode of the Ozark. Y'all had that nailed down so much. I was busting up. So like for those who may not have any idea what it's like to put up a show, like what is the process? What are y'all shooting on? What do you shoot with to film stuff?
Oh, right here. This
look at
iPhone.
The iPhone 5 and this iPhone 6.
I love it. I love it.
Do you guys use lenses or just quick?
Yeah, we use everything in the
everything
we can find. And it's not, we haven't bought a lot of.
We haven't bought anything, guys. like
dollar store.
He bought some 50-cent poster boards the other day for the protest team. But I said to him the other day, I was like, man, I'm tired of this house being my set for everything. I can't wait to be able to go somewhere and shoot. You know, like the house is, and we just find different corners of the house.
Yeah. Real quick, you know what's funny? Like I shot this film like December my first year at DePaul, right? And this was before cell phones were high tech. Like you had like cameras, but nothing like today, right? And so which meant we shot on 35mm. That cost some money. We got it for a discount. But like the process of shooting stuff, it was a lot more work. It was not nearly as convenient. Okay, we're gonna shoot something right now on our cell phone, put it up. You had to develop the film. You had to do X, Y, Z, get a higher DP. So there's a lot more challenging.
Well, on our first season of the Tim and Kevin show, we got seasons. Y'all. For all y'all listening, we got a season 1 with 12 episodes and a season 2 with 9 that's dropped so far. Well, on the first season of the Tim and Kevin show, it was Tim and Kevin under 60 and all of our episodes were under 60 seconds, which was really cool. But we were of the mindset and our good friend was like, I'll work with y'all. And he is a film producer. His name is Frey Hoffman. And he was like, I'll be a producer on this. And we actually had crews. We had a crew, a DP, a sound person on those. And then it was so time consuming because we actually had setups. It was like a real shoot. And I said, Kevin, I was like, this is cool and all, but like when this baby comes, we don't have the hour and a half to nap to get this shot up, you know? But yeah, so it's, you know, it's these cell phones, it's our apartment here in LA, and then now we done added the baby to the mix because half the time she don't want to sleep and we'd be like, all right, we gotta put her in it.
So how have y'all been holding up with being in lockdown? Like most, how you been holding up?
Well, these Tim and Kevins have been raised my spirits anyway. Yeah, fun to shoot and being creative really gets me out of all this. It's just depressing, like the state that we're in, you know. But we're, you know, with my family, so that's good.
It's hard. I don't know if you know, I'm 7 months pregnant, and it's not been an easy journey this time around. So being in the, and my husband is a warden. So, you know, but it's with good reason.
Right.
With good reason. I give him crap about it.
He
is not messing with Corona. But my friend has a big old pool in her house. I don't even gotta go through the house and it's just me in the pool. He'd be like, nope. I'd be like, it's just me in the pool. They're not even home. I have access to her backyard. Nobody, even if she was in the pool, it's more than 6 feet away. It's about 30 feet away, you know? So, but he did let me go yesterday.
Well, along those lines, you know, like a couple of people, like I saw, like Netflix is producing stuff again. Tyler Perry's getting back to shooting stuff again. How comfortable would y'all feel like if somebody said, okay, we're shooting something. Can y'all come out and do this shoot? How comfortable would you feel doing that right now?
There has to be some safety measures in place, that really strong safety measures in place. And I'd have to see, I'd of course look the script and say, okay, what about this scene where we kiss? How's that going to work? How are we doing that?
Right. That's a good question, because right before this all happened, I was going back and forth to New York working on a show. He was working on a show in Lucifer here, and his show Lucifer. He was supposed to shoot one more day, and they got shut down. I think it was like their last couple of days of shooting the season, and they didn't get to finish out their season. Now we on The Good Fight. We were still on episode 8, but they were on the last episode of that season. And for a while there were talks of coming back to The Good Fight to finish those episodes. And I was like, you want me to fly to New York to finish that? I don't know. And what ended up happening is they just aired the 7 episodes that were already shot, and I don't know what they're gonna do the last 3. But I'm sad, because you know, that's our livelihood, and we all want to be on TV. We all want to work. You know, that's why we do what we do, because we love to work. But I just felt like it was too soon to be trying to take a plane cross country for 6 hours.
Oh man.
Work on a set with 100 people, you know, and half my scenes are in bed with somebody, you know. We'll talk about it later.
Use the showroom.
Oh, la la. Yes.